What was that?
Moussa.
Moussa.
Bad Boys.
Who?
Bad Boys. Will Smith, Martin Lawrence.
How the hell did you write off 47 cars and a boat?
Yeah.
And a boat.
That was me. Oh, no, that wasn't me. Yep, that was me. Nerd alert.
Hello, friendly nerd friends, and welcome to this, the fourth episode of season two of the Nerds of Oz, coming to you loud and proud from the Fortress of Nerditude, and I'm joined by my good friend and faithful cohorts, the master of the anti-source equation, Josh.
What the hell's that?
And the master batter himself, Shane.
What's up, bubs?
How we going, boys?
Right. Anti-source equation, what's that from?
So, the anti-life equation is from DC Comics.
That's
and because you don't like source... You're the anti-source, the master of the anti-source.
That's
equation.
A dark side.
I went
reference.
S-O-U-R-C-E, source.
Like, well, the place where it comes from is actually called the source, too.
The anti-source equation.
The saucy anti-source equation. So how are we all today, boys?
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking beers.
Yeah.
Drinking beers. What are we drinking today, Shane? Let's see if we can get some sponsorship.
They're called Tinnies.
Corona.
They're called Tinny Corona.
Yeah,
Corona.
So is this a strain?
Yeah, from a bottle low.
So you've got 12 here and it says on the side, enjoy in moderation. Do you understand what that word means?
Shane doesn't know how to read.
Yeah. I've got three. Okay. Let's just keep it.
I like comics, they have pictures. Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually a fancy can too.
That's probably why I got them.
Abstract.
It's stuck out to me.
It reminds me of Mambo.
Yeah. Oh, Mambo. Dude. Hot
little dog like pooping out the music.
Yeah, note. Yeah. What's his name?
Piping Hot.
Reg Mombasa.
Okay.
Cool. So Reg Mombasa was the guitarist from Mental as Anything. And in his spare time, he actually is a painter and created Mambo as a brand.
Yeah, there you go.
Made a whole pile of money and then sold it to fucking Target or somewhere like
that.
Oh, jeez. Big W.
Piping Hot.
Yep.
Mambo. Hot Rip Tuna.
Cool. Rip Cool. Hot Tuna. It's not a tuna.
It's a tuna.
So, Josh, what have you been up to this week?
It's not a headache. It's a tumor.
What have you been up to this week, Josh?
What have I been doing? I've been going to the movies like every second night.
Okay, cool. Did you end up going and seeing Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yes.
Was it good?
Saw Sonic, saw Fantasy Island, saw Invisible Man. Whoa. We go down the track and we'll get there. for what Sonic is, for where it came from, it's a good movie.
So
based on that alone.
So does that mean that as far as sort of leftover 90s comedy franchises
scraps
made into a movie,
whatever, yeah, like whatever was left over there, they turned it into something.
Okay,
there's a lot of moments. The whole premise is obviously Sonic has to leave his world and come to our world, where he lives in isolation, no one knows he's here.
Yep.
And he's got a bag of magic rings that he can open portals to different realities.
I've got one of them.
It's Doctor Strange.
Doctor Sonic.
And he can go wherever he wants, wherever he needs, but he likes Earth. It gets to a point where something happens.
Cyclops is in it.
The government hires Robotnik, or Jim Carrey's character, to track down whatever this thing is. He doesn't know it's Sonic at this point. Finds out it's Sonic, and then it's a Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote movie for the rest of the movie, trying to chase each other until they have a final interaction.
Okay, here's a question for you. Could this have been any character other than Sonic the Hedgehog? Could they have changed it to his Joe Pineapples and his magic lettuce leaf, and it wouldn't have made a difference to the story? It's not like a Sonic that, like, Mortal Kombat is a Mortal Kombat movie.
Like, it's a Sonic movie, don't get me wrong, but it's like...
It feels like Garfield.
I don't know. It's just like,
is Jim Carrey good?
Okay. Yeah, he's great. He's a standout. He is the mask. He's that flamboyantly...
Old school Jim Carrey.
You don't know what he's going to say in each
Ace
scene.
Ventura.
It's great. Yeah. He's unpredictable.
Is Knuckles and Fox in it?
And what, Tails?
Tails, sorry.
I don't know if that spoils it.
I don't really. I'm not going to probably watch it.
There is a scene at the very start whereas there are some echidnas involved. You don't know if it's Knuckles because they're all wearing little cloaks and shit. And you're like, but I'm like, that's Knuckles.
Secret echidna business. All
right.
And there is a end credit little stinger because that is every movie ever now where you may meet another Sonic Universe character.
Bro,
where they are very heavily setting up a second where I'm like, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do now.
Move on to Fantasy Island.
Yeah. Fantasy Island, that's it. Invisible Man. No, seriously, okay, so Fantasy Island is dog shit.
Yeah, okay.
It got like a 3.5 on IMDb.
It is worse. Like, Sonic was a popcorn movie. I sat there and happily entertained. I was like, yeah, cool. Sonic runs fast. He does things. Jim Carrey, worth watching.
Okay, here's a question. Would you watch Sonic again or Detective Pikachu again?
Ooh.
Because I know that you're a Sonic guy and you're a Pokemon guy. Because your first comics were Sonic comics, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
So where would you go?
Tough.
Which is your...
Visually, both movies are good.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I shit on the Detective Pikachu storyline, I think that is more of a cohesive story because I think they always were going to do that, whether it's the best story or not, fair enough. But Sonic, they kind of had to go, fuck, we got to fix this real quick. And $35 million later or whatever it cost them, that's what they were left with after they just changed. Because Sonic's in maybe every scene apart from 5 minutes.
And what a movie? From a merchandising point of view, what a fucking cock-up. There is nothing Sonic out there.
Yeah.
There is absolutely nothing Sonic out there. You can't get a Funko Pop, an action figure, a T-shirt. There is nothing. They were so unprepared for the popularity of it.
Yeah. So, well, they fucked the first Sonic was fucked. I went back and watched... We watched it together. We watched the first Sonic trailer, which is terrifying. The fuel for Nightmares for Kids for...
It's like a 14-year-old kid... In the worst Halloween costume.
He's been trapped braces. In the body of Sonic and you're like, fuck.
I read a theory about that. So I read that, that the production, the company actually did that on purpose to see if there'd be an outrage because they knew there would be.
What, to garner respect from the audience?
To garner a response from the audience to create a new one because you know that once they quote, listen to the fans... That they're going to be giving them their money to see it. And it looks like it worked because it's put a bit of coins.
Did you read that on Reddit by any chance?
No.
Look,
BuzzFeed.
I don't go on Reddit or BuzzFeed.
I was going to go see this movie regardless because I went, one, if they don't change it, fuck, it's going to be terrible and I'm going to enjoy every second of it.
Yeah.
Two, if they do change it, which they did, I want to see how different it looks. And it looks very polished.
What is that love of terrible movies? You know, I got 4,000 DVDs.
It's like watching a car crash happen, and you're just like, oh, fuck.
I got 4,000 Blu-rays and DVDs, and I reckon that 200 of them are watchable, and the rest is shit.
It's already made over $250 million worldwide, so it's worked, whatever they've done.
And I'll just point out, too, that if you've got a PlayStation and you're on PlayStation Plus, Sonic Forces is one of the free games.
Mm. Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Good hot tip, I might do that.
Yeah.
But it clocked a respectable 7.0. That's fair.
Look, it's okay. Fantasy Island story is shit. Sorry.
It's like Clue.
The movie doesn't know what it wants to do. Its premise is, let's get five people. They've won a holiday to Fantasy Island where you get one wish and whatever it is will happen sort of thing. And everyone's like, oh, I wish for a great party or I wish I could fix this in my life sort of thing. The movie then goes off into these five different people who were invited into five different genres of movie. You've got horror, you've got romance, you've got action. But it doesn't mesh well because every five minutes you're jumping between each story and then you're like, the fuck's going on here?
There's five people. So are any of them guys?
Yes.
So what were their wishes?
Sex and party. Sex party.
So, okay.
Sounds like that House of the Dead movie.
Every single male, their wish would be gigantic penis.
Yep.
Sorry. Did one of them wish that?
No, but like that's the premise. It'd be like on the TV show. It's like there's that I wish for this, and it's like if you had a genie, it's like, oh, careful what you wish for because you got to word it really correctly because it might backfire on you. But I fell asleep in this movie. I went with someone. In the last 20 minutes, I was out. Wow. I woke up and I was like, what did I miss? She's like, you didn't miss anything. I was like, all right, cool. That's good.
I've fallen asleep during two movies in my time in a cinema. First one was Pitch Black.
The movie was too dark.
Yeah, I just didn't dig it. And the second one was Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yeah, that's just just camping.
The Sam's movie. Not here.
I was just about to say you're in trouble.
Justin's wife is not here to hear that.
I didn't even see the end of it. I got told what happened. I was like, well, that sounds really shit. The best one out of all of them is probably Invisible Man.
Yeah. Yes, tell.
A friend of mine actually did the special effects for that.
Well, did a good job because the whole movie, I sat there not looking at anyone who was in the foreground. I'm watching the backgrounds going, okay, the blind's moving. Is something happening here? I'm looking at the floor.
Oh, so it's real, real gives you a lot of paranoia.
The closest thing I can compare to this movie is It Follows.
Hollow Man.
Okay? And it's because, and I fucking love that movie, because you don't know if this person is there or not, or if it's a mental thing, if the girl's crazy.
I can't tell you what any of the actors in It Follows looks like, because I spent the whole time looking at the background trying to see who's walking exactly towards
every them. Scene, there's someone every walking. Scene,
yeah.
It's great. In this movie, there's up until a point, you're like, okay, the crux of the Invisible Man isn't in the movie at that point, but then once he is, then every scene you're like, and then I was like, okay, I've been looking too hard. After that, every scene, I'm like, okay, this, that. There's a little Paranormal Activity vibe in it as well, because you start to get it like scenes where the main character's by herself and weird shit's happening, but you can't tell if weird shit is happening.
Was that the wind or was that the guy?
Yeah, yeah. Or is she just crazy because of this bad relationship that she's imagining things sort of thing?
And this is the woman from The Handmaid's Tale?
I've got no idea.
Yeah, it's Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah. Yep. And it really, really weird. And in some bits I'm like, okay, I think I know what's going to happen sort of thing because this is how I would do it. And some bits were similar. Some bits were completely like nut curveball. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. Interesting, well and truly interesting for up until maybe the end 15 minutes where they very definitively decide how they're going to make this Invisible Man invisible.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen Hollow Man.
Hollow Man is amazing.
I love Hollow Man. He drinks something or
he gets injected.
He gets injected, right? So I was wondering that question the whole movie. How is he going to be invisible? They very definitively go, this is how. And I'm like, oh, I like it, but
My guess was it was a suit.
I'm like, oh. It's like there's a scene where I thought back to you from Iron Man 3 where the kid's like, you should get an Iron Man stealth suit, you know, so you could be like invisible and stuff.
It's going to fit in what shirt I'm wearing as well, Universal Monster one.
Yeah. Still interesting, don't get me wrong. There is, interesting movie that makes you thrill. Not a horror, a thriller. The anxiety the movie brings you is you not knowing when or what is going to happen because you can't see it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it doesn't go for the cheap jump scares like an Annabelle doll dropping in front of the door or anything like that. It's very much telegraphed like, oh, there's something floating there. Or am I seeing this right? Like, that can't be right. And then it gives you moments as the viewer to go, if you saw this in real life, you'd be looking at it going, the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't believe it at first. And then you're like, what?
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
Really, really interesting movie. I would watch that again.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so Fantasy Island, forget about it.
What Sonic movie?
Sonic, give it a go.
Invisible Man. Give it a watch. Nice popcorn movie. Invisible Man. Be switched on, pay attention, enjoy the movie. But there's a lot of little details you can pay attention to.
I feel like watching It Follows now. That's such a good fucking movie. Oh, and that soundtrack, that 80s synth soundtrack.
Oh. Beautiful, right? They did a vinyl for that.
Yeah, I've got that on record, yeah.
What?
It Follows.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Where?
Under I.
Sorry, guys.
It's over here behind me. It'll be over there.
Well, I'm going to have to have a look at that later. yeah, cool.
What about you, Shane? What have you been up to?
Have
you seen a bunch of movies?
Or yeah, but I watched a couple of movies this week. I've been on the sad movie track a bit. I've watched two this week, and also following the new Batman news, which I'll speak about after that.
Yep.
The first one I watched was Judy, with Renee Zellweger, who plays Judy Garland in a very sad sort of biopic of the last few months of her life touring England.
Do you need a moment? Do we need to pause? You seem to be croaking up there.
Judy Garland, Wizard of Oz. I didn't get what you were talking about before. You said somewhere over a rainbow.
It was you couldn't even recognize it was Renee Zellweger. She absolutely just transformed herself into Judy Garland.
I haven't seen the film, but I've seen the trailer. Yeah.
Have you got it?
I was like, no.
I'll lend it to you.
The whole time through the trailer, I was like, who the fuck is this woman? I couldn't figure out for the life of me who it was.
So at this point of her life, she's very dependent on drugs and alcohol, and she's... There's very subtle flashbacks of her life as a young girl, which if you haven't read about the life of Judy Garland, you need to, because she was absolutely just tortured and tormented as a kid through not only her parents, but the production studio MGM. So it goes through her last sort of few months trying to stay sort of relevant to the people, but also she's basically just trying to feed her drug addiction.
Wow.
So it's beautifully made. She sings her own vocals. She won Best Actress for a drama, and definitely a tearjerker.
When did this come out?
This year.
I was going to say, I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it, must have been mid to late last year.
Yeah.
And then was like, oh, I wouldn't mind seeing that, and don't remember seeing it turn up the movie.
So, like, I was going to say, I don't remember it being advertised.
Then it caught the Oscar buzz.
It got thrown under the rug, won a bunch of awards, but no one knew what it was.
It's beautiful because it doesn't rely on like flashbacks of her life. It just sort of goes through what she's going through now with subtle flashbacks. Cool. Yeah, and then I watched Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage.
What the fuck?
Yeah, if everyone doesn't know that movie, it's Nicolas Cage plays a alcoholic production, like a film guy, searches for films for people, whatever that. Yeah. And he's basically at the end of his road. He's fired. His family's left him, so he decides to move to Las Vegas to drink himself to death. And he meets a prostitute, Elizabeth Shue from Hollow Man. Yeah, nice. Who's basically on the run from her pimp, and they strike up a very compassionate friendship / love relationship. Basically.
Sexual relationship.
No, you don't really get that towards the end. He just wants somebody to talk to, and she just wants somebody not to look at her like a piece of meat.
Yeah.
So they make a very beautiful friendship till the very end, where he's, spoilers, dying in his bed of alcohol poisoning, basically. And yeah.
Wow, what a miserable fucking week you've had.
It's been a fucking... It's been a... Jesus, I'm a...
And you said you had sad news about Batman too.
That's good news about Batman. Yeah. We haven't recorded since the suit castings and all that stuff, have we?
I don't think we've said anything about the suit, the bike, or the latest news that happened.
Hmm.
There's a bike?
Yeah, riding through a cemetery.
Huh.
That's me, sorry.
That's not me. Don't look at me.
Yeah. This is awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everyone saw the suit? Obviously, we had in our little group.
The guns, like, built out.
Yeah, apparently there's rumors about the bat symbol being the melted down gun parts of Joe Chill's gun he used to kill his parents.
But, like, where did that come from?
How the fuck would he get that?
He tracked it down.
Yeah.
I mean, where did that come from? Like, all of a sudden people were saying that. It was like, cite me where your information was.
It's been leaked.
Kevin Smith said it months and months ago. He goes, imagine if the thing was like the...
So he said imagine.
And now everyone's just jumping on and saying, yeah, man, but I hope somebody just comes. I hope Matt Reeves just comes down and shuts it down, because it's a shit.
I actually hope that it's a batarang.
Yeah, that's what I want it to be.
He pulls it off his chest and
throws it. Isn't it like Robin's one as well?
In the games, he touches Robin's it and it just goes, basically,
yeah.
Like that.
Robin's R. Yeah. It's like a ninja star.
Yeah. And Titans as well.
The bike as well. We got the first shot of what the actual, sort of bike and.
So theory?
Theory, yeah. A lot of people sort of like, oh, yeah. But I really like the bike. I like, it looks normal. It's not like the Tumbler, where it's just like, or the Bat bike, where it's just like this big, overzealous
sort
thing.
Sort of bike, just a little like, you know.
It's a tricycle. Yeah. The Bat tricycle.
Just wear a helmet.
It's just like Jigsaw.
Is it safe?
Ding! It's got a bell on it.
Yeah.
Need to play a game.
Well, remember, this is like his start of his career, so he's not going to have all this high tech.
Doesn't have his license yet.
Yeah. But, yeah, a lot of people are like, you know, he's Bruce Wayne. He's supposed to afford all this stuff. But it's like, he's just sort of figuring it out himself. He's not going to have everything. Like, in Batman Begins, he had, like, a balaclava on for half the time. Yeah. Like, he's just trying to figure it out.
I mean, Batman Begins, too, like, very much well took itself from Batman Year One. This looks like the photo of the stuntman on the motorcycle.
He's big, isn't he?
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy.
But he also has wrapped around his wrists what look like
bolts. Yes!
So it very much alludes to Zero
Year. Zero Year, dude. Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo.
And if they do that, that would be awesome. And just for the... It would certainly make sense having the Riddler in it as well, because the Riddler could potentially be a bit of a piss-poor villain.
Yeah.
But like, if I remember... I haven't...
And he was in... Jeff Johns' Earth 1 Volume 2 and he was actually killing people in that one, so I can see Paul Dano being that very menacing, like he will kill somebody, not like
it's
Jim Carrey.
It's so funny, I can't see Paul Dano as a bad guy at all. Because
have you seen Prisoners?
No.
With Hugh Jackman?
No.
Oh.
The only thing I've seen Paul Dano in was when he was about 14 or 15. He was in a film called Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And that's all I know him from.
With Chris Evans.
It's dude, stop.
Yeah.
No.
He was like the
Chris Klein. He's the Oz.
He's the Oz.
Yeah, it's Chris Klein's
and
character.
And with a little bit of Emilio Estevez from The Breakfast Club mixed in.
Bitch, stop. No, but he just does the mouth when he's just like...
And you know, that's all I can picture is that face in a Riddler costume. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to be terrible. And then I hear of who's playing the Penguin as well. And I'm like...
Colin Farrell.
Yeah, it's like, fuck off.
I just think it's too close to Fantastic Beasts.
Everybody talks about Heath Ledger's Joker being like the unbeatable Joker. You find me a better penguin than fucking Danny DeVito.
Burgess Meredith.
No way. No way. He was a good John Candy. 60s penguin. That's a big fucking penguin.
There is a
Batman bad guy called Emperor Penguin, and you could probably play that.
I just watched The Great Outdoors the other day with John Candy. He's royalty. You leave him alone.
He's great.
Yeah,
he was royalty in King Ralph too.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah, it was like 26th year anniversary just the other day.
Who's Harry Crumb?
Of his death.
He went. Actually, no, he didn't go too early. He was big boy.
Hang on. Yeah, John Candy. 26 since he's been. Fuck, I'm so old.
Yeah.
And Chris Farley's been gone for a hot minute as well.
So 26 years since. So I was only like 108 when he died.
It's been like 24.
Did you watch it in color or black and white when it came out?
It's been like 25 years since Chris Farley.
It was acted on stage. It was done with marionettes.
Yeah. Anywho, and the Batmobile got released. It looks like a DeLorean, basically.
It looks to me like a Trans Am. That's been Trans Am.
It looks like he's found it because like he doesn't want people to know what's he working with.
Yeah.
And like he's just like, I'm just gonna go incognito in this like sort of car. And I really like it.
And if they're doing the 0 year thing, that kind of does work as well. I'm gonna stop that beeping in a second, guys. I'm really sorry about that. It does work that because it's like I needed a vehicle to get around what's left of Gotham.
This
City,
wasteland of Gotham.
So I found a car. And to make sure people know it's mine, I've put some Batwings on it.
But can you imagine being Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo knowing that this story is based off something that they've only done maybe in the last like maybe 8 or 9 years of like comic book? They just came out of nowhere with this like, a lot of people are like, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, it's overrated. During their original run of Batman, they were fucking, they're amazing. Right now with their whole metal stuff, it's a lot to process, but...
Fuck that metal shit. It's not even Batman anymore.
They're doing metal, they're doing Justice League and all that stuff, but they need to branch out on their own. That's what I was like, just...
DC Comics needs to sit back and think about what they're doing.
Oh.
Take a good look at themselves.
Good segue.
Into...
What? Dan Didio finally
stepped down.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, DC sort of have seemed to have sort of hit this point where nothing seems to be happening.
Nothing's happening.
Like...
Except for... Black Label. Yeah.
Black Label's fucking incredible. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the best thing that DiDio did was Flick, Vertigo, and bring on Black Label.
That's it.
Because the Joe Hill comics are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I've collected three of the Harley Quinn comics, and all three of them were brilliant, and they're the same character and such three different stories. Like, Harleen is, like, telling the story of her and the Joker from, like, it's a Mills and Boone story with some beautiful artwork by a guy who... does I think his name is Stepan Stenick, who does Sunstone. Then the other one
Criminal Insanity,
which is Harley's forensic psychologist
who's tracking down a killer
serial killer called the Joker. Yeah. And then the other one is Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, and it's like basically Amanda Connor and Jim Palmiotti having fun with Harley Quinn, and instead of having to wind back in the comics, what they've always had to do. They've just gone full tilt and gone, you know, I'm Harley fucking Quinn. Like, it's full of swearing. It's nice. Saucy as shit. It's really funny.
Well, the main question is who's going to be booted up to the top now? Like, everyone's going to probably be like, oh, it's going to be Jim Lee or Geoff Johns.
Oh, fuck, I hope it's not Jim Lee. Because if it's Jim Lee, it means that we're going to get a billion more. Oh, look at the Jim Lee signature edition condom.
Well, Geoff Johns has stepped down from the creative side of the movies, and he's doing strictly comic books. So hopefully, that means that he's going to be.
That's not a bad thing. I think that what they need to do is stop mucking around trying to make a universe and just do. Aquaman was great. The Wonder Woman film was great. The Shazam film was fantastic. They need to stop fucking around trying to make a universe and copying Marvel. And just stick to their heroes.
Well, same with the comic books. Stop building universes and just doing like, you know, that White Knight series is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
The Curse of the White Knight is even better because they're not trying to build out this big universe. They're just doing straight like six, seven issue gritty stories.
I've said it before that Marvel works better as soap opera. So the difference between
film.
Yeah. So a book in general is story based and it tells a story. A comic is character-based, and you can have the characters go on forever. What Marvel did for the first time...
Except for Uncle Ben.
What Marvel did... Too soon. What Marvel did was with their films was that they created a character-based film universe because it was not about the story, it was about the long-term thing of what happens to these actors. The problem with that is that people get old. that's where that falls apart, unfortunately.
But you can use pin particles.
Yeah. But I think it's clever with DC for them just to do... There's so many good heroes. I'm still waiting for that fucking Hawkman movie.
Yeah.
It's all I want to see is a Hawkman movie. And let's face it, the Marvel movies, after maybe Iron Man 2, started to become... Every movie was an Avengers movie.
I'm still looking for a question.
Oh, how good a question.
But Renee Montoya's question?
Yeah. Well, maybe if we get a solo Birds of Prey and not a Harley Quinn Birds of Prey film, we'll see the question in that.
Mm.
That's the question.
I still like that. Maybe I don't care what people say.
Which one?
Birds of Prey. Did you see it?
We all saw it together.
Oh, this.
There he is. Sure.
Wow.
We're literally in the cinema.
I'm very old.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was after 9 p.m.
But what about you, Justin? What have you been doing? You've been VRing the whole fucking time.
Yeah, I've been playing.
Every time I go on Facebook, Justin McMurray's live.
Yeah. Playing Dance Central.
Yeah. Fucking thing, so. I saw that. I'm like, oh, I'm not even clicking into this.
It's turned me into a fan of Megan Trainor, unfortunately. All I can think of is...
When you play Resident Evil Biohazard on there or something,
I can't get it on the Oculus. So
Oculus
is untethered. Yeah. So the PlayStation VR is shit because you've got to have like 900 cables hooked up.
I'll break that TV if I play
actually,
that horror game.
I actually play that outside. I take it outside and play it outside so I can make a bigger area to move in, and it means that I can do things.
Not
like
going to punch your way through your TV.
So one of the things you can do with this is that on Beat Saber, you know, the lightsaber drumming game. Yeah. You can actually play it in a thing called 360 mode. The boxes come to you from all around.
Oh, any direction.
So that's
sick. You're turning around. Like you're, and it's like, what a workout. It's a cardio workout.
You've been
like
working out as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been going to the gym a little bit.
You've been hitting the gym, huh?
Yeah.
Right, dude. Welcome to my world.
Yeah. The gym I go to is a lot of old people, though. Like,
same, dude. Don't worry about that.
You see photos of gyms and it's like, look at all of these people. And you go up there and it's like, there's a lot of wrinkles up here.
Can you get up
and they're not all mine.
Can you get up at 4:30 yet?
Oh,
you could.
Like, don't fucking sleep. Are you kidding?
I could drag you to my gym. Just a couple scoops of pre-workout and you're set.
I drink so much coffee, I don't need that stuff. Mm. Cool. Okay, we might just take a quick break so I can shut off my notifications. And we'll come back in just a sec.
Boop, boop.
Okay, so I've now turned off my notifications off my iPad. So that's probably been a little bit annoying, and I apologize for that. Now... I've been pretty pumped for this episode because it was actually Charles Xavier students who turned me into from a filthy comic casual into a full-blown collector. In 1982, there was a news agency at Sans Souci in New South Wales, Australia that my parents used to go to do their lotto, and I got a comic there, and it was issue one of The New Mutants. I'd always been a fan of teen heroes, like always loved teen heroes. I've always liked Bucky, I've always liked Robin. My first comic T-shirt was a red T-shirt that had Robin's symbol on it. So the idea of a school that had superheroes, I was fucking stoked by that. From then on, I became a full tilt collector, and I really started, like, before that, my comics were just like in piles, in boxes in my bedroom, and I'd just pull them out and read them whenever I felt like, and if it was a continuing story, I didn't care, I just read them, copied the pictures, all of that sort of stuff. New Mutants, I needed every issue of that comic because it was so good, and when I discovered that it was associated with another comic called The X-Men, I was like totally on board. And then from there on, I sort of went to Captain America and stuff like that. Basically, I read that all the way through till the end when Rob Liefeld tried to destroy it with his shit stories. and then it turned into X-Force and it turned into something that wasn't about a school for kids. It was just fucking more of the same shit. And then I kind of stopped reading comics in the 90s as well because everybody tried to be Image Comics. Everybody tried to be Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld and Todd McFarlane, and just the entire look of comics sucked balls, and everything was about how big your gun was, how many pouches you had on your crotch, and how big your tits were. And while I'm a fan of The Last Thing, I don't necessarily want those... there still needs to be story content. Because I wasn't reading comics in the 90s, I didn't watch the X-Men cartoon either. I actually revisited that when it came out on DVD years later and was like, oh, this is really good, except for Morph. Morph was they already had Mimic and Mystique that they could have slid in there quite comfortably, but they came up with that character of Morph and it was just shit. But so the movie that we're going to talk about today, The X-Men, it was released 20 years ago. That makes everybody feel pretty weird. I couldn't believe that it was 20 years when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And basically, this film took the concept and characters of 30 years of X-Men and distilled it down to the essence of the stories that Lee and Kirby wanted to tell, which was about racial tolerance, which was about, I guess, being kind to your neighbour because you don't know what they've got behind closed doors.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now seeing the beginnings of another stage of human evolution.
In every human being,
there's not many people that'll understand people like us.
There exists the genetic code.
You'll be safe here.
What kind of place is this?
You're not the only one with gifts.
For mutation.
The truth is, mutants are very real. And they are among us. We must know who they are, and above all, what they can do.
A change is coming.
Are you a God-fearing man, Senator?
Those we fear.
Magneto believes that a war is brewing between mutants and the rest of humanity.
Will be all that can save us.
If no one is equipped to oppose them, humanity's days could be over.
You're a mutant. The whole world out there is full of people that hate and fear you, and you're wasting your time trying to protect them? You sure you're on the right side?
I have made the first move. That is all they know.
He could wipe out everyone in New York City.
Logan, help us. Fight with us.
I'll take care of you.
We are the future, not them. Not all of us.
Man, what a trailer, right?
The background narrating is so early, it's like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, exactly.
Where mutants live next door.
In a world where no one can be safe. Yeah, it's totally one of those.
Nicolas Cage is Con Air.
I just have to recount a couple of tales about the X-Men that I really, really like. The first one is that when Stan Lee first came up with the concept, he went to Martin Goodman, who was the publisher of Marvel Comics at the time, and said to him, I want to come up with a new comic, and I want to call it The Mutants. And Martin Goodman's response apparently was, nobody knows what a mutant is. Like, why would you call it that? We're talking the 60s, so the understanding of some of the stuff that's understood now is a little bit different. And he was like, no one knows what a mutant is. Why would you call it that? That's dumb. No one's going to understand it, Stan. Come up with a better name. So Stanley's gone away and he's gone, Professor Xavier, Professor X, maybe they're his X-Men, so I'll call it X-Men. So we went back to Martin Goodman and said, okay, then, well, if you don't like the word The Mutants because no one knows what it is, let's call it the X-Men. And Goodman went, the funny thing about that is who knew what an X-Men was? Like, there was more chance that they knew what a mutant was rather than X-Men, but Martin Goodman was happy because the X-Men thing was a bit more catchy. The other thing I like is that on the X-Men 2 disc, it has a really nice mini documentary about where the X-Men came from. Unfortunately, Jack Kirby's already dead, so he couldn't talk about it, so it's all told from Stan's point of view. And basically, Stan says that he had run out of origin stories. He couldn't think of something else to give people their powers. It's like he couldn't have a whole team of people that had been written by, oh, he's been bitten by a radioactive cat,
they went
radioactive
space, dog. They went into space and got...
And he was like, what if they were just born with it?
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Maybe they just hit puberty and bang, they end up with superpowers during puberty. I mean, if it was my puberty, I would have been Masturbation Man or the Amazing Wanker.
You already are that.
Fuck you. Yeah. But yeah, so the idea of having them, that these things lie dormant and then suddenly they hit puberty and all of the changes happened to their body was something that was actually quite unique. And I think up to that point, maybe the only other hero that I can think of that naturally had powers was probably Superman.
Matilda.
Who?
Matilda.
Who the fuck's Matilda?
You're the little girl with the... You're a Road Doll?
Road Doll? Roll Doll?
Roll Doll, whatever the fucking name is. Have you ever seen Matilda before?
BFG, which is...
I know who Roald Dahl is.
She's basically an X-Men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because
she's Jean Grey.
Yeah, because she has those little powers when she's like a little kid. like 2 years old, like she can, and then all of a sudden when she's older, she can like tap into her full potential of being like, she can move stuff with her mind, like telepathy, like Jean Grey.
Okay.
Yeah. That's weird, dude. Kirby, your dad doesn't know who Matilda is.
Shut up. Granted for a month.
You are old.
okay. So, where were we? So, what do you think of, do you think this movie was made due to the success of the X-Men cartoon series? Do you think that that's where this came from? Because nobody knew what an X-Man was. Like Martin Goodman, nobody knew what an X-Man was. Like, this came out of nowhere. It wasn't like Spider-Man.
What do you mean you don't know what an X-Man is?
Like, no, nobody knew what a Spider-Man... Like, people know Spider-Man, people know the Hulk, people know Batman, people know Superman, and they've just come and said, oh, this is the X-Men. So the general public didn't necessarily know what the X-Men was. Do you think it was because of the cartoon that this was an opportunity for them to do that?
Yeah, and not even for the people who love the cartoon. Like, I think this is just an all-around good movie for people who just try to tap into the comic book world. But I think I watched the cartoon when I was younger, but not like an obsessive sort of like watch. Like every time Nightcrawler was in it, I'd watch it because he was like my favorite. Like he was my favorite character. But
hello, Fräulein.
I'm Kurt Wagner.
I'm Kurt Wagner, Fräulein.
Yeah, but I really think that the cartoon, because I know Bryan Singer, he watched all of them to get sort of like a feel about what characters he wanted to bring into the movie. Mm-hmm. But I know that he allowed no comics on set because I know he wanted to make this an original sort of story on its own.
Wow.
But I think just the casual popcorn movie this was supposed to be. And it was obviously turned into fucking one of the biggest franchises in the world.
Well, yeah, how many films?
Josh?
Eight? Nine?
Yeah.
Well, there's the first trilogy.
X-Men 2.
Are you counting the...
Let's count everything.
Count all of them.
Okay, so the original trilogy, then you've got the X-Men Wolverines.
Origins Wolverine.
So you got one, two... How many were there? There's two...
Days,
two plus Logan.
Plus Logan.
Days of Future Past.
So there's another three there.
Days of Future Past.
And you've got the Rogue cut.
First Class.
Then you've got four movies there.
Apocalypse.
The new
Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix.
The Rogue
so
cut.
So 3, 4... You got, what, 11?
So that's
11 plus
you got,
the two Deadpools.
You got
13.
Runaways.
Yeah, and then you go to Gifted,
Gifted,
Runaways.
Legion X.
Yeah, fuck. It spawned a lot of shit.
Yeah, and I love this movie because it's just simple. Like, it's not jumping timelines yet because they wouldn't have known that this would have been. Yeah, it wouldn't have known that this was going to be such a phenomenon as it is now, but it's just like, it's such a grounded, I know that's hard to say with an X-Men movie, but it's just such a grounded movie where it's not too complicated.
And it races along at a clip. It's so like 96 minutes, 97 minutes.
I was doing my notes and I'm like, I'm nearly done. And like, I remember,
the movie's over.
We were 10 years old and like, you were about eight. I was 10 years old when this came out. I remember watching it and I was just like, yeah, this is fucking awesome.
So you went into comics at that
No,
point. So
I,
you were reading comics.
I never saw the animated series.
Okay, well.
We got it when we were at work together. I remember I got it.
Yeah, I bought it then, which was
in the chocolate
years
box.
Later.
Yeah, the Wolverine box?
Yeah, it was a big Beyond.
I bought them separately.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay, cool.
They came separately, like all different multicolored.
I've got a Wolverine. Ones. I've got an upper body of Wolverine. You pop open the back and there's
so sick.
Four or six discs.
I remember that. Like, I remember watching, but I remember the one scene I remember is the cage fight. When, like, Wolverine's sitting there, like, he's got his arm against the cage, like, no shirt. He's still very... A trim Wolverine. He was training a lot throughout it, not at the beginning, because he got cast 3 weeks into it. So he was having a cigar and he was drinking a beer, and then he just all of a sudden... One thing I didn't hear in the original movie, but I heard on the... I was watching on Disney Plus, is the ting. So he hits the guy's hand and you can hear like bing. I've never heard that.
The metallic noise
yeah,
of his bones.
And when I think Mystique or the second, like the Mystique and Wolverine outfit knees him in the balls, you can hear it as well.
Yeah.
But I never heard it when I was like originally watching it. I don't know whether they added it in.
No, I can always remember
that. Oh, you remember it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I can always remember that metallic, because the first time that he hits that guy, you hear that, you hear the difference between the sound of the flesh hitting flesh to the metal flesh.
How Canadian are they making that like scene, aren't they? Like everything's just log. Yeah. I'm just like, is it really Canada?
Snow everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like some pancakes?
Apparently,
everybody's out in a boot.
No, apparently they added that snow in post because it was like really hot day, sunny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was no snow whatsoever in any of those scenes. Oh, shit.
What about you, Josh?
It's a good movie.
So you said you didn't see the X-Men cartoon at all until much later?
Nope. So I remember the opening. Like now.
Or jumping out to the screen.
Yeah, and the big yellow, I think, X-Men blocks, like,
yep,
that were in the background, but...
Schnicked. Schnicked.
It's one of the things I find really interesting about this film. You look at the 10 years of Marvel that we've just had, the MCU, and it was like, oh, here's Dave, and here's a 40-minute story about Dave's origin. Here's Pete, and here's another. For every time somebody walked into the room, it was like, oh, here's a background story about why he scratched his nuts that way. And this is like, here's Jean Grey, she's telekinetic, let's go.
Here's Kitty Pryde, she's running through a wall.
It's like oh, cool, they're in the office. One, two, three, there you go. And then Wolverine kind of mocks them. He's like...
With us, though, like, because we're such big comic book fans, we're like, oh, yeah, man, that's Jubilee, that's Kitty Pryde, that's Colossus. But you watch the fan, that like, just a normal, like, pogo with a popcorn bucket, they just ran through a wall! Yeah. Oh!
No, I just find it totally, like, it reminded me of, like, the 90s sort of the direct-to-video... movies that like Seagal and people like that
did. And JCVD.
And it would be like, I'd like to introduce to my team, this is Stokes. He's our demolition expert.
Well, it's Predator.
You want shotguns?
It's like small soldiers.
Meet Dave. It's exactly like small
brick soldiers. Brick bazooka.
Yeah, and it's just like...
Ooh, what does he do? He has bazookas. Yeah. What do you think?
So, but like everything was just like, this is this guy and he can do this and this is this... It was totally... And it was like, you didn't need to know that Aurora came from Africa and, you know, blah, 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 and all of this happened to her and the Shadow King and blah, blah, blah. It was like, he's just a girl who has, like, amazing storm control.
I've got to look this up. So she had a very dense African accent in this.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't think she carries it on. I've got to look it up. It's just like one of my second hated characters.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
We're going to hear about
Scarlet Witch. I'm pretty sure that she drops the accent.
Who are you talking about?
Storm. Aurora.
She doesn't have an accent in this.
Ooh, it's
she
I see it, I hear it.
She talks very quietly.
But she deliberately speaks like that's not Halle Berry's accent.
Yeah, I get that.
But she speaks like someone who has
She doesn't have a good accent though. No?
I've seen better acting in Catwoman.
Hey.
Yeah. Anyway, Josh, what was your feelings on the movie?
Well, you want to know the success? Like,
well, Justin cut you
well,
off.
Well, of course the how rude.
Sorry.
Not very X-Men like.
We know how much he loves his X-Men.
No, there's like this wouldn't have been made as live action if there wasn't some sort of level of success from the cartoon.
Yeah.
If there wasn't some level of, I haven't read a lot of X-Men titles.
Man,
X people, if you want to call them that, whatever you want to fucking call them.
X persons.
But I'm really, really keen to. Because of the origins of why the X-Men were created and how they wanted to target, I guess, diversity and bigotry and include everybody. They, like you said, there's so many different characters that are from so many different backgrounds and have or should have good accents from where they're from or that's not even like important. It's a group of people who come together and up, I guess, not forced together, but maybe in a way, a thrust together because of they're all hated by...
Adversity.
Yeah.
It's just
by everyone else.
Yeah.
So they're just thrown together and it's just like they grow to appreciate and love each other. And
so you said accent. You know. It reminds me of X-Men Wolverine Origins where it's like, are you Remy LeBeau? You know, Gambit? Then Remy LeBeau I am. He's supposed to be Cajun. I'm like, oh, stop it.
My least favorite X-Men is Gambit.
You don't like Gambit, that's right.
Fucking hate Gambit.
You know what, I don't really have much of an affinity for him either.
Why, because he just throws cards?
I didn't like the way that they wrote him in the comics, because it was always written in a French Quarter accent.
Yeah.
So he was a piece of shit to read. They couldn't just put, like, you know, something around it to say, like, or you didn't need, like, they didn't need to write it the way he spoke.
Yeah.
And what's the deal with the pink corset? He's got purple
and
pants
has
and a
the
pink
scarf
corset.
As well. Yeah, he always got
what
the scarf.
The fuck is that? It's the worst costume ever. And I have people, everybody that's like, it's like, oh, do you like the X-Men? Oh, yeah, Gambit, bro. And so, fucking really? In a world where there's Wolverine and Nightcrawler and Cyclops, you're going for Gambit?
And
what the actual fuck is wrong with you?
Jean Grey's your main, isn't she?
Jean Grey's my bae.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funnily enough, the three female X-Men that I like are all of the psychic ones. And that's Jean, Emma Frost and Psylocke. Love the three of them. I think they're but Jean would be number one over and above a lot of them. But my favorite X-Men is Cyclops.
Me knowing that got me the trivia win on the cruise.
Oh, about
the superheroes. No, it was Emma Frost.
Okay.
Because who can make their skin go diamond like things that nobody knew. I'm like, fucking Emma Frost, bitch.
Yeah. Well, the original time that Emma Frost was in one of the X-Men movies, which I think was X-Men Origins Wolverine, was played by an Australian actor. And she was actually...
But we don't remember.
Yeah, I can't think of her name, but she was before
she
did
X-Men. She was
in
First Class, wasn't she?
No.
Emma Frost is in First Class, but not that actor.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's different, yeah.
The Emma Frost in this one, she just turns to diamond. She doesn't have psychic powers. You don't see her. You see her turn into diamonds, but it's played by... She was in a TV series that the ABC used to show called Blue Water High.
Oh, I remember
Blue Water High, and in the opening titles there was that hot chick with the tig old biddies who'd run up the beach with a surfboard under her arm and a bikini on. Well, that's it. Josh is looking her up right now. But yeah, she played Emma Frost in that first one.
Yeah, and that's why I love it. Just all the little subtle hints to all the other X-Men, because they know that, like, hey, we don't need to explain it right now, but here's this little. Like what you said before, we don't need to go background in on everyone.
It was so funny. The funny thing about this X-Men film is that it reminds me of a film that's a superhero film that's not based on a comic called Push.
Oh, yeah, that has Chris Evans in it as well.
Yeah.
And Zoe Saldana.
Yes, she is. Dakota Fanning?
Yes.
Be in it as well.
Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But it's this reminds me of Push, because if I didn't know comics, you could give me Push and the X-Men... And I'm happy to watch those without having to know anything else. There's no supplementary material that I need. Like you said, you just sit there and you go, whoa, look at that. That guy can run on water. This is fucking amazing. You don't need to know all of the other shit because the story is sort of so self-contained. It's one of the things I really, really like about it. Favorite X-Men? Nightcrawler. Yeah.
Yep. But in this one, Toad. I had an action figure of Toad when this came out, and I took it everywhere because it had the retractable tongue. And it was like, you know those little gooey hands that you can hit it?
Yeah.
Oh, the slappy hands.
The second he goes retractable tongue, it's like, oh, okay, now I know what
I used to just take it and you could put it into his mouth and just sort of like slick him onto something, and then it just got really ratty.
So was that the action figure of...
Ray Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what he came right off doing Darth Maul.
Yeah, he was Darth Maul
before. Yeah, because this was 1999, was Star Wars, yeah. And he's like...
And apparently, what did he do after that?
Fanboys.
It's like 10 years later.
Yeah, no, he's done stunt for everything now.
Have you ever seen X versus Sever? He's in X versus Sever. So there's a video game, first person shooter video game. this is one of those stupid, obscure film facts. A stupid first person shooter video game that's not very popular called X versus Sever. And there is a film that has Antonio Banderas, Lucy Liu, and Ray Park in it.
Sign me up. Yeah. That's sick. Yeah. Yeah. I love Toad in this, but Nightcrawler, I think because Alan Cumming was so amazing at it.
Yeah.
It was just that accent. So good.
It's so funny. Apparently a lot of fans complained about this film because Nightcrawler wasn't in it, because they completely changed the origin of the X-Men, because the X-Men in the comics were Iceman, Angel, Beast,
and then when
Jean Grey,
then
Cyclops.
Then when Iceman to be
and then when Giant Size
is my favorite.
They brought out all the ones to save them.
Yeah. So when was it Len Wein that did
Len,
that?
Len Wein and Dave Cochran.
Yeah. So when... When that was redone, the decision was made.
75?
Was that Jim Shooter that was the editor-in-chief then?
Yes, Shooter.
They decided to diversify, because they had this amazing story about racism and about prejudice against five poor white kids. And so that's why you have the Native American Thunderbird, you have the Irish Banshee, you have Wolverine, who was Canadian. You have Storm, who was African, I think Kenyan specifically. You've got Sunfire, who's Japanese. So they really, Colossus, who's Russian, they really mixed up.
Lady Shiva,
I guess. She was over in X-Men. She was...
Oh, she's just a little villain, wasn't she?
Guy, yeah.
Yeah.
But they really sort of made it not just that anybody could be an X-Men. That it was all about the whole thing, but was about being accepting of people, which is pretty cool. Mm.
What was your favourite X-Men, Josh?
Iceman.
Iceman?
Nice.
He wasn't in. He didn't get a really mainstream role in the first one, though.
No,
he got more of a role in the second one.
I enjoyed Pyro a lot. Like, it made me want to go and buy Zippo. When
he
I
was
saw
a
the
dickhead.
Second one. Yeah, no, it made me want to go buy Zippo just because he was just like,
yeah, let's go light shit on fire.
Well, it's funny.
X-Men makes kids burn down houses.
But do you know, it's funny. This is one of the things that I like about Pyro is that Pyro can't generate the fire.
He can only manipulate it.
He can only manipulate it. So he actually has to have a fire source.
So and he's useless without it.
They could have easily just made it. He's just another human torch. He just sets things on fire. But it's like, no, I actually... Because the character from the comics, who was one of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, he actually has these gloves that have like a pilot light. And so he like like pushes this thing, a little bit of gas makes it come out, and then he can make the fire grow from his hands.
I'm pretty sure in the third one he had something like that.
Oh, really?
Because after Magneto had that little spiel with him in the second one, like, oh, so what's like your deal? He's like, oh, like you can create the fire. He's like, no, can I manipulate it? Then he's like, no.
Gives him like gauntlets.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
something.
He gives him something. Because in the third one, he was just straight,
yeah,
like that.
So, yeah, Pyro was it.
I think we definitely have to keep... I think we should make this a trilogy, normally, Duke. Because like, we're having such a good time right now talking about this.
I think we eventually need to do all of them.
Yeah. Oh, The Last Stand will be interesting.
So here we go.
Should have been the last one.
So do you think that this film was successful because it appealed to non-comic book fans? Do you think that because it just felt like a 90s... It felt like a 90s action film. It didn't feel like... Like we said, it didn't feel like... They didn't feel the need to explain... Like, the first Thor movie, nothing happens in that movie.
Get me a nail.
Nothing happens in that movie. He gets his hammer. He loses his hammer, and he gets his hammer. They could have just had the Avengers film. They could have just had, you know, Loki doing his bad stuff, and then all of a sudden Thor turn up in the Avengers, and no one would have noticed. And it would have just been, oh, this is Thor, God of Thunder. Cool. That's awesome. So they spent, like, they made a whole movie that didn't need to explain anything, really. You know, it's called, that movie should just be called Here Comes the Avengers rather than Thor.
It's a Marvel's prelude comic.
It's a Marvel's prelude comic, yeah. It's exactly right. Yeah,
it's here's Hawkeye. Yep. You get a brief scene of that. You get to know who Thor is. You know how his hammer works. Cool. And you get to meet Loki, who's going to be the villain.
Yeah.
I think it was just a fun movie. Like, it didn't get me into comic books. You know, Batman was the one who got me into it. But I definitely want to start reading a lot more X-Men. I have read a fair few comic books of it, but... It was this and Blade that really sort of like got me onto it. I still think Blade's one of the best fucking comic book movies ever.
The first Blade film.
Yeah, the first one is scary as fuck.
I actually really like that Tracy Lords turns up.
Yeah, Tracy Lords is in the opening scene. And then they have that really sweet techno like dance scene. It's like...
And it was like 90s Here's Johnny sort of techno as well.
Yeah, oh, so sick.
Bolero House.
Yeah, but one of my really good mates, Nigel, who lives in Scotland right now, he is a really big X-Men fan. He got a lot of omnibuses. And like he was like, dude... Trying to read this is the most hardest thing of my life because, like, it's so jumpy. Like, it just bamps everywhere.
Yeah.
But I just think it's just a great movie for somebody who just wants to sit down and just be like, holy shit, this person can run on water. This person's really good at drawing. This person has retractable claws. So I can't get over that.
Shit on the drawing game before. I'm sorry.
I know. I shit on the... in the scene where they're going through the house of all the special little kitties and there's a person running on the water, there's a person drawing the mansion. It's a good mansion. All right, it's a good drawing. What the fuck's his power? By the way, that mansion is from Smallville and Arrow as well.
Does that kid have glasses?
No, that's the kid playing basketball.
Oh, the kid who can teleport.
The guy who cheated.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yeah. No powers.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck that, I won.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I had powers, it'd be like, yeah, I'm using that at every
You think outside, they'd be like, yeah, free reign of powers, no, but inside.
I like how they finally said that Colossus is like just a guy on steroids in the first two, because until they actually bring out him in Deadpool... It's like, hey, he's actually like the main person he's supposed to be.
Yeah. The what was it? The house scene?
Yeah, it just has him. Just you see the big dude, and it's Colossus.
I don't even remember a big dude.
Yeah, you see him in a split second, but in the second one, he's actually in it. But then you finally see him get into his metal form. But
in the third one, where he's like chasing Kitty Pryde through the walls.
He's in the second one when he's just a teacher or a student, and then when the the people come and invade the house. He actually goes into his form. But in the third one, he's actually like
eating cereal.
Yeah. But in Deadpool, he's actually just a metal.
Yeah.
He stays in his metal thing the whole time.
Yeah. Does he come out of that form?
No. Not in the Deadpool movies.
No, but in the comic books, does he come out of Colossus?
What about him?
Does he actually come out of his metal form? You know, in Deadpool, I was just straight.
Oh, no, yeah, he can turn that on and off.
Oh, he just decided not to the whole time.
Yeah.
Is it the whole like Mystique thing where like, why should we have to hide?
Does it change his weight?
Such a good question. Oh. Like, is he really super heavy when he's not?
Well, he just sits on the tiny little like bar stool eating the thing and he just breaks all the chairs like, oh, Colossus. Laugh track plays. He's like, sorry.
See, I've always thought I'd love to be telekinetic like Jean Grey because what
I'd be fucked.
No, I'd keep, not telepathic,
do you want to go on this? Do you want to go in here?
Because it'll be one of those things where I could be the physical form that I am, and let's face it, I'm more like the Blob than any other X-Men. I could be the physical form I am, but because of my... I could, like, be a world-class weightlifter because I could just go in there and use my psychic powers and go one-handed and just go... Yeah, this is easy, guys.
How does he do it?
He's so fat and unhealthy. How does he do it? You too could be like me.
Yeah, if you said the word mutant to me in a movie, be like, hey, I've got this movie about mutants. I'd be like, sweet.
Yeah.
Sign me up. It doesn't have to be necessarily, oh, hey, this is like a really intricate comic book storyline, because it's not. It's an original story. Yeah. This doesn't happen anywhere.
The funny thing is that, like, if somebody came to me and I didn't know anything about the X-Men and said, I've got a movie about mutants, I'd be thinking, oh, cool, this is
going to be like, eyes or be like
tentacle
it.
Porn.
Yeah.
That's what they call hentai. In the movie as well, when you're looking at it from the movie perspective, the word mutant has such a dirty word.
It's a dirty word, yeah.
It's a derogatory. It's like when you're watching Harry Potter and they're like, oh, he, fucking words. He who shall not be named, like Voldemort.
Yeah.
It's like you call someone a mutant, that's like what?
Yeah.
And you get some people who embrace it like,
who you calling muggle bitch?
Yeah.
I know what you are.
Some people who are full on like, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
What of it? And some people who are like, oh, I don't want to be grouped in with it.
And there's only a few of the actual mutants that like really embrace it. You know, Mystique. You know, she doesn't hide. Yeah. She doesn't hide who she is. Wolverine basically doesn't want to accept that he is one of them.
Can I just say...
He thinks he's like separate.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I've got to give... one thing I always give actors credit for...
Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah. One thing I always give actors credit for is that if they choose to do something in costume and never come out of it, because as an actor, for nobody to know who you are underneath all that, that's Rebecca Romijn, for God's sake. She is... So fucking beautiful.
100 hours of makeup it took for her.
Oh, really?
Like every like week, hundred plus hours.
Say every time?
Like, no, every time. But she had to be kept in a secret room though during non-shootings because they thought that people were going to come on the lot and sort of take photos. So she was kept inside a room.
Just like a box.
Yeah.
If
I saw Rebecca Romijn wearing that, I'd probably come on the lot too.
Yeah. We're on the set of the Smurfs. Yeah.
But you can still tell it's Rebecca Romijn. You're like, that's her. Yeah. She's got, and same with Tom Hardy being Bane. You're like, yeah, I can see that like just through his eyes. That's Tom Hardy.
But it's so funny because like you look at people like you look at the actors who don't seem to have a great deal of ego, like Hugo Weaving in
The Matrix.
V for Vendetta. He doesn't show his face once in that. You don't know it's Hugo Weaving. And yet he plays that performance amazingly. Whereas someone like Stallone, like the second that he put in Dread, as soon as he could get his helmet off in that movie, it was like every single Dread fan went, it's not Judge Dread.
Hello.
Yeah. But then the other Dread movie that had
Carl Urban
helmet stayed on the whole thing.
And it was amazing. You only saw him put it on. Like you see the back of his head and he's putting it on. I watched that the other day.
He was putting it on.
Yeah, he was. And yeah, Lena Headey was evil.
Yeah. She was, what's her name, Mama?
Oh, yeah, Mama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. Why didn't they make a sequel to that? Why didn't they make like 100 movies of that?
I want to see the Angel family in like a new like thing, because that original concept scared the shit out of me.
Block War, Judge Child.
Yep.
You know.
Oh, Block War would be so good.
Block War would be fucking amazing.
And then Batman rolls through to the fucking, like, to what's their city called?
Mega City,
yeah. Just Batman rolling through in a portal, just him and Judge Dredd fucking shit. Because Judge Dredd came through to Gotham. In an arc, I want to see Batman just rolling through to Mega City.
One of my favorite panels in a comic ever is there's a Batman and Judge Dredd versus Judge Death and Scarecrow comic that's drawn by Simon Bisley. And Judge Death goes to kill Scarecrow and Scarecrow sprays him with his fear gas. And there's two pages of what Judge Death sees. And it's bunnies and Easter eggs and grass and stuff like that. This comic is basically black with scratches in it. And then you open to this one page and it's all pink and
Judge
yellow.
Judge Death is the most calmest dude. I love that.
And Judge Death is like, his eyes are like, he's like freaking out completely. And he's just fucking pink and white and pastel colors.
I love that. It's just cool. Kid opened the page of that, right on that page. Yeah, like, I want this one.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, Judge Dredd has been put everywhere, like against Predator, Batman. I love it. He's just he's just a whore. He's just dropping on every comic book.
He's a hoe.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Underrated.
So this movie, one of the interesting things about this film is that, like you said before, Hugh Jackman was a latecomer to the cast.
Yeah, he was 3 weeks in.
Doug Ray Scott was originally cast as Wolverine, and Tom Cruise forced him to return to Australia because he was the bad guy in Mission Impossible 3.
Mission Impossible.
And there were some reshoots in that film, so Doug Ray Scott had to give up being Wolverine and come back and do those reshoots.
Don't say Gary Sinise was up for the role as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I can actually see that right now as well.
Gary Sinise.
Yeah, so he was up for the
Gets
role
up
as
my
well.
Nose.
So that's why you see that, like Hugh Jackman in the first sort of scenes, he's not really big, but then when you see as time goes on, he was working out in...
Let me say something, though. Like, he's still pretty fucking hot in that cage scene.
I want to see what they're feeding Hugh Jackman in terms of steroids. Because there is no way every single Marvel character has taken steroids. Every single DC character is getting is on roids. Every single, like, they are just giving them all that good juice.
I reckon that the first thing they did to him was like, here's a packet of laxettes. Go and eat them. Once you've shit everything out, come back and do the scene.
Yeah, no, I heard some really good sort of like things about Hugh Jackman, because Hugh Jackman's a very big family man. So he said that he, instead of trying to wake his wife up, because he had to get up for 3 o'clock shoots, he'd go in the shower, but there'd hardly be any hot water where you're staying. And he didn't want to wake his wife, so he started grinding his teeth and gritting like a Wolverine. Like, he was just sort of getting into the mood of Wolverine.
Yeah,
so
instead
of waking up, he was growling in the shower, like that.
No hot water!
It's so cold!
Yeah, motivation!
Yeah. Where have my testicles gone?
His commitment to the role was crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when it got to Logan, because he was, by the time Logan came around, it was like he'd been playing it for 17 years. And he said that he was, I think in one of the extras for the Logan disc, he actually said that he was passing out every 10 minutes because he had to cut the water weight so that he could see the onion skin look. And he was apparently passing out nonstop.
And in the Wolverine as well, like, he was just veiny as fuck.
What's his name? Patrick Stewart on, I think, Graham Norton was talking about how he was glad that he didn't have a position. Like,
he said, sit in the chair.
Yeah, he just had to sit in the
and
chair.
And Logan is laying down the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. But like, and he was like,
rambling just, nonsense. Yeah. He got paid to just lay down and just talk shit the whole movie.
Fuck you, Logan.
So
it's like we're filming. And it's like, oh. Yeah. Okay.
Outside of Hugh Jackman, who, like, let's face it, he's the, like, what's his name? Robert Downey Jr. is ubiquitously Iron Man, and they are going.
He's the Heath Ledger of the Joker.
They are going to Heath Ledger's the Joker. Like, they are going to have trouble recasting Wolverine. But, like, other cast members of this, like, what did you think of? I mean, we're not, none of us are really fans, I think, of Halle Berry's performances anyway, and she wasn't great in this.
Even James Marsden, I wasn't really fan of. I enjoyed his earlier, I think it was X-Men first, in Wolverine, and maybe Apocalypse. Is it the guy from Baby Driver?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed his sort of take on it. It was good, but I just don't enjoy James Marsden.
So I like Marsden in this because I feel that he really, even he plays it, if you don't know the X-Men, you think, well, this guy's not acting, he's just standing there reading his lines. But that's what
Cyclops is.
Cyclops is master tactician, man of small words. Like, he says, go. He says, and he expects you to go.
I enjoyed his performances after, spoilers, Jean Grey died.
Yeah.
Because he looked really broken. You know, he had the 5 o'clock shadow. He was just
He got 5 or 10 minutes worth of screen time after that, if that.
Yeah, no, but you can still see his pain in his eyes. In this one, I just saw it, yeah.
So, but my thing about this was the whole, when Wolverine says to him something to the effect of, oh, you're worried that I'm going to take your girl.
Hey, Logan.
He's like, I would never have to say that because that's why she's my girl, but.
Yeah. But then, don't touch my girl.
Don't touch my girl.
Yeah, yeah. I love that whole sequence, and he plays it so dry. And I can, when I read X-Men comics now, I hear James Marsden's voice. Like you do with Kevin Conroy in Batman, I hear James Marsden's voice.
Oh, and Logan, stay away from my girl.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So Jean Grey?
I like Femke Janssen.
Femke Janssen, yeah.
The only thing I'd seen her in before this was she played On a Top in GoldenEye.
She was the one.
She played what?
No.
On a Top,
she was the one that was strangling people with her legs.
Yeah, yeah. She kills people by
strangling them.
Humping them to
I saw her in.
And her last name was On a Top.
I saw her in The Faculty. The old school,
she's a teacher.
She was a teacher. She was a really dorky teacher.
I forgot about that.
And then I saw her later in Don't Say a Word, and that's basically all I've ever seen her in.
I think there's another horror film that I've seen her in. I can't think of what it is.
I forgot she was in it until I realized it's the same chick as Good Wife.
I thought she was really good when she became like...
Good Wife?
Yeah.
That's not her.
Yeah, it is.
Wait, the Good Wife... Alicia Florrick?
Oh, well, they look the same then, if that's all.
Brother, I've watched the whole series of Good Wife. It ain't her.
Okay, well, then no idea who she is. So yeah. I don't care about her. I thought she was average. There was only three people I thought were good in this movie.
So who do you think
Charles
was good in this movie?
Charles Xavier.
The way they're ordered. Yeah, so you've got Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen. Everyone else is forgettable.
Amazing.
McKellen's voice.
Well, he had to... They stopped the shooting of Lord of the Rings so he could do this movie because they're like, really? There's no other Gandalf that is out there. They stopped this... They worked their way around it so he could do this movie.
That voice is just... Even when I played the trailer earlier, like, you just hear his voice and it's like, that is Sir Ian McKellen, my friend.
That is two of the best actors in the fucking world in the one movie.
But they've got that... They build up very early on. They're friends.
Yeah.
They...
the chess match.
When they're at the when they're at the UN like summit meeting sort of thing, and they're listening to the Senator Kelly going about, oh, fucking mutants, we're gonna kill them all or whatever.
We're gonna kill them all.
We're gonna get it. It was gonna nuke them. I love that. That speech for me was like now, but with Trump and the Mexicans and all that shit.
It's very much
and okay. like marginalizing them and being like, oh, they're we need to, you know, make them do whatever. And that for me is like they're two just calm, chilled people.
It's a mutual respect.
Who after that then go, I'm going to go down this path. Yeah. I'm going to go down this path. And Charles is trying to be like, oh, I don't go down that one.
They're essentially the same but character.
They've both got a very valid point. And that's what I love about it. They're both doing the right thing by themselves and their people.
And you sort of got to side with Magneto on a few things as well. You
it's
know?
Like there's three teams. It says Charles's team. There's, you know,
Magneto.
Like Magneto's team, yeah. And then you've got the humans who are just kind of like in the middle going, oh, hey.
The funny thing is in the comics too, like Magneto's been in charge of the X-Men on several occasions. He was the headmaster of the school for a while. Like it swings backwards. He and Rogue were together for a period.
Was the whole was the whole concentration camp thing, is that a thing?
See, I don't remember that from the early days of the X-Men, but yeah. I remember them talking about it later. I mean, it certainly is a good... I don't know if Singer came up with that or that was something in the comics.
There was nothing like that in like First Class
type
of thing. Continuity. It's not really a big deal in this one because obviously they wouldn't have thought
you can't that blame the yeah, exactly because just, they didn't know where it was going to go.
Yeah. I saw one thing that I only like was like, okay, that's not true because when he met Cyclops, he actually met Cyclops in Wolverine at three...
When he freed all the kids,
at Three Mile Island. That was the only thing that I was just like, okay.
Oh, really? But that was your one thing?
I saw so many other things, but I choose to block him out.
The fucking helmet, which was super obvious.
The helmet?
Yeah, when he's like... rummaging around in his head in the first 5 minutes and he's like, what are you looking for? He's like, oh, hope, because he doesn't have the helmet on.
Yeah.
Later when he puts the helmet on, he's like, oh, he seems to have found a way to block my powers. It's like, he gets that in First Class, obviously, when he steals it from the old dude.
Yeah.
And when they said they met when they were 15, they met each other when they're like 23, 24 in the university.
But
like I said, I'm not holding that to it because at this point it was their first jump into the universe. Let's see what works. And
I think that somewhere along the lines that there is all of the X-Men films, even though they relate, they only relate because of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I don't think that they relate outside of that.
I think, like I said, those three cast members as well, without them, they could be their own.
That's right.
Separate things.
Yep. Castings for Wolverine, who you got? Okay,
so new Wolverine?
Yep.
If I could recast Wolverine right now, Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh!
What?
Yep.
What, ones for fucking claws?
No, you think...
I'm thinking him right now, yes.
So my problem with Hugh Jackman has always been is that the man's fucking 8 foot six.
Wolverine is supposed to be 5'4"?
5'3".
Yeah.
So Daniel Radcliffe is quite short. He's probably not 5'3". He's probably more like 5'6". He's a nuggety motherfucker. I don't know if you've ever seen... He did a live stage version of this play Equus... and he's fucking built. He is built. And
if you see him on Jimmy Fallon, he's doing that A to Z rap.
Yeah.
He looks pretty jacked.
He's got some intensity as well. Like people, this is one of those things. This is the same thing that Robert Pattinson has with the problem of being Batman, is that someone
typecast.
Like everyone just thinks of him as Harry Potter. And hopefully things like...
Have you seen Swiss Army Knife?
The
Swiss Army Man, yeah.
Hopefully the new one, Akimbo.
And there's Guns Akimbo. I think that Guns Akimbo is almost like the thing that he's accepted because he needs to harden up a little bit. Because and I think that you get him, he must be 30 now.
He'd be our age. Yeah, he'd be about my age.
Yeah, he'd be about 30. So he's prime now because Hugh Jackman would have been 30 when he got the job.
Oh, no. He would have been about...
Hugh Jackman and I are about the same age. And I was about 30 when that film
came out. Yeah? All right.
Yeah.
All right, that's good casting.
Yeah, him, me, and Kylie Minogue are about the same age.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Kylie Minogue's as Wolverine. Yeah. All right.
I totally watched
that. I got a few.
Go for it.
So I'm not doing any particular timeline. I'm not going now. I'm going just whenever would have been a good time for this person. All right. Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. If they had made a Wolverine film in...
Wild West. Can you imagine him just being like... Wild. Imagine just like with that glare, that growl on his face.
Yeah.
Michael Madsen from his bud from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
He might be a bit tall, but maybe a good saber tooth.
Great saber tooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christopher Maloney. Stabler from Law and Order?
Yeah. Is who?
That's Wolverine.
Oh, really?
Oh, is he the guy from the TV series about the guy who imagines a unicorn that tells him...
Yes, Happy.
Yeah, happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been a great Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 years ago.
Need a little bit of
hair. That's what I mean. Like, I'm just saying there's no...
He'd be a good old man Logan.
Yeah. Mel Gibson. I don't know why. Like, I'm just thinking about my Lethal Weapon love.
I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, like the original Lethal Weapon, he's got that really like big hair, and myself.
You are quite short.
But put it this one, I'd pay the last one over Mel Gibson. So.
Sweet. if they start feeding me that good juice.
Everybody get Shane to pay Wolverine in the next Wolverine film.
If they start feeding me that good that good D-ball.
Imagine how your mutton chops.
Imagine how successful the podcast would be if we had Wolverine on every episode.
Schnicked.
You just have some little some knives and forks between your gaps in your fingers.
Oh, we might have to do we'll do that for our photo. We'll get some knives between your hands. We'll take a photo of you as the Reen.
Red tags.
I'll do some push-ups before it, though, just to fill out a bit more.
Red tags work really well as well. They hook onto the backs of your fingers.
Yeah, they do. We used to do that, yeah.
You used to go up to the boxes. You get these little things where you can hook under your fingers. They've got like a little lip, like a J, but they're like sharp on the end. You could put them through and look like Wolverine. You just go up and start stabbing boxes.
At our work, you had to use to like poke these little things through the DVD so nobody could steal them or open them. Yeah. And you'd unlock them. They're like they look like little pencils, but they're like red sharp tags.
Okay.
And like you can put them between your hands so that you look like Wolverine.
If I had those at work, I'd be wearing them all the time.
Cling, cling.
As it is, every time I see like a pair of 80s glasses that have the single lens, I think, I wonder if I could get those prescription. Just be Cyclops all the time.
You know, Nathan Worston. Big shout out to Nathan. He got the Oakley Cyclops like glasses a few years ago when they came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he hasn't worn them since.
Well, just, just wrap around.
Yeah, no. It's like the ones he wears when he's like not...
When he's not sober.
Lasering people?
Yeah. When he's not like... Kling.
Can you imagine that first thing of the day? Like, does he go to sleep with them on? Does he just like
sleep? He sleeps with them on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, imagine if you like knocked him off in your sleep and he's
Yeah, what if Jean Grey just like, fucking knocks him, man? It's like...
Wakes up, like, oh, I want to look at my favorite thing in the morning. Laser straight through the head.
Well, one of my favorite comic moments of Jean and Scott is that her telekinetic powers are strong enough that she can force it back so they can have like a romantic moment with her forcing the lasers into his eyes.
So she pushes it too hard and it goes back out the other side of his head.
It's just like the equivalent of like fucking Superman trying to have sex with somebody.
Yeah.
With his Kryptonian sperm. It ain't happening.
Have you ever read The Pro from Image Comics?
No.
So The Pro, there's like a Justice League piss take in that. There's like the Green Knight who's like...
The Green Lantern?
Yeah, Green Lantern. And, sort of stuff. And the Superman in that whose name escapes me right now.
Mega Man.
But the Pro is a prostitute who ends up accidentally joining like the Justice League. And she gives the Superman character a blowjob. And the last, at the very last minute, he pushes her head away, and all you see is the outside of the building, and
just crumbled.
His load just smashing outside of the building.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay.
I just
been a little kid down there.
She also beats the shit out of a bad guy and then pees on him.
I definitely got to give you that Superman volume where they actually, like, Earth 1 Superman, where they actually, like, go through it, like, what would happen, like, by J. Michael Straczynski. So good.
John Byrne used to talk about that. John Byrne used to always, I think, in a comics feature or a comic scene, or maybe it was
I have to just like journal. Put a like a ring of like kryptonite. A kryptonite around him.
Kryptonite
like,
condom.
All right.
Yeah, well, apparently
he's weak enough.
Well, that will kill him though.
Hey,
that'll kill him as soon as he'd die. The kryptonite will kill him. Only Wonder Woman can do it.
Only Wonder Woman can what?
Could handle it.
Or Power Girl.
Oh, Power Girl. Yeah. And Jean Grey possibly she's like directed somewhere else.
Well, I mean in Action Comics, an early Action Comic, a mid-80s Action Comics, a character from Apocalypse called Sleaze. He starts a porno company.
Sounds good.
He starts a porno company in Hell's Kitchen, and one of his powers is that he can convince people to do whatever he likes, and he kidnaps Big Barter and Superman and gets them to do porn together.
That's so
I'm not joking.
That got made?
How the fuck is a Matt Murdock in there just in a closet somewhere just like grubbing it?
You can't see it though. He has to hear it.
Yeah, that was like of Umbrella Academy where that one of the people can like go up to a person basically say, I heard a rumor and make them do whatever she wants them to do. I think her codename is Rumor.
Rumor.
Yeah.
It's Rumor.
That's cool.
I like that.
Interesting.
That was a good segue into
Only Works If
Super Sperm.
It's funny actually. One of my favorite ideas for a power is like a coercion power. One of my favorite powers is of a superhero who I don't like very much, and Star Fox from the Avengers. And he's just, everybody just likes him. His power is that everybody likes him. So like there can be a giant fight between the X-Men and the Masters of Evil. And he'll walk in and go, hey, why are we fighting, guys? And everybody will go, yeah, let's all be
friends.
Oh,
that's sick.
That's his power. And he was kicked out of the Avengers because they didn't realize that was his power. I think he's Titans, he's Thanos' stepson or something like that. Mm. And they realize that he's just walked up to the Avengers one day and gone, "Hey, I want to be an Avenger," and they've all gone, "Yeah, sure, no
yeah,
worries.
We like you."
And they just and he was he convinced She-Hulk to be his girlfriend just by we should get together. Yeah, okay. That's he can fly and he's strong and all the rest of it, but basically his power is. And when they realized what his power was, they were like, "Nah, fuck off."
I wish my power was to be able to give equality to the world.
That's a shit power.
I used to work for Apple many years ago.
No, you didn't.
I did.
I know you did.
And when
you worked
I
worked for fruit,
eh?
You worked for a fruit company.
I did.
God, you suck.
And one of the questions that they have in like their 3 or 4 day training, and I hope that Apple SAS don't come and kill me for revealing their secrets.
Oh, is it what superpower would you want?
What superpower would you want? And my superpower
the power to sell really well.
Well, I actually said the power of coercion.
Fast charge.
And everybody's gone dead quiet. And they're like, "Do you mean like you'd like for people to like you?" And I was like, no, I want to be able to say to people, "This is what I want you to do," and them to do it without question.
Like a boss.
Oh, Purple Man.
The room's gone silent. And it was like, "That's really dark, man." Still got the job, but it was like, yeah, it was like...
What was everyone else saying?
Oh, just, wish I was fly. Invisible. I wish I could fly so I could
that
get
is a
to
shit
work
power.
Quick.
That is a shit power.
All right, keep talking about powers on here in the bathroom.
Okay.
Shane's power
is he's got a weak bladder. Wait, 3 cans in though, so I'll give him that.
Plus.
There's no toilet paper left, just remember that.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
The shower's right there, just hose yourself off if you do a number 2. You just go be stale. So, what superpower would you have?
Ooh. Depends, because there's some powers that lead into, like, that's like multiple powers in one. It'd have to be something. It depends if you get to, like, tweak it a little bit.
Just anything. Like
It'd be able to control all the elements. To be the avatar.
So okay. So
water, fire.
So you're going for an Aang thing.
Yeah, I'm going for that. Because there's so much versatility in that. Flying and invisibility are shit in my eyes. But super speed, good. Provided I don't die from it.
Yeah. John Boone.
If your body could keep up with it. If it's all is like, yeah, you just got to metabolize and you just got to be able to eat, and then fair enough, cool. But, like, it always got me. It's like, why does the Flash not wear, like, a fucking mask with, like, a vented thing over his mouth?
He's not, and
the goggles.
His
like,
eyes would have to
when
be
When Wally West, I think, well, like, or Kid Flash.
Kid Flash
Kid
had goggles.
Kid Flash has the goggles. I'm like, genius.
There's a Funko Pop coming out of him with his goggles up on his head.
Yeah, sick. I love it because it makes sense. Yeah, sure, you'd still get shit on the goggles.
It's funny, two sort of super speed characters. There was a character from a comic called DP7. And
what are we talking about?
DP
and
seven.
Oh, DP.
Yeah, no, not double penetration. No. Displaced paranormals.
Oh, okay.
And he was constantly in motion. He couldn't stop.
Just vibrating all the time.
Just vibrating all the time. And so he had to eat constantly because he could move so quick. He could just steal food nonstop. John Byrne also had
he'd make a great look massage chair.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it was funny in the comic. He was just like drawn as lines, just wherever he was drawn.
Oh, so not like a full
not
body.
Even a proper outline. There was just like lines drawn of where he was. John Byrne had a kind of a parody of the X-Men from Dark Horse Comics under their Legend imprint called The Next Men. And it was about the next evolution of men. It was a massive piss take of the X-Men. John Byrne was very dirty on Marvel and was just like fuck-you-ing them every left, right, and center.
Mm.
And one of the characters, what he did was is that anybody who had a power, there was a side effect to their power. So his Cyclops had completely blown out all of his eye sockets. So he had to wear things over his eyes because he just had these blown out open sores as
well,
eyes.
That makes sense.
But the kid who could super speed, he had like a normal 14-year-old boy's body, and then his legs were like Usain Bolt's big muscly legs. And so like, that was the funny thing about this comic was you'd read it and it was like so hard to read because they were so malformed from their superpowers. It was like, oh, that kid can run really fast. But the guy, when he took his glasses off, so
really weak upper body, like
little tiny kid arms. And then these
but
massive,
you don't want him to kick you.
No, you don't want him. But he had a similar thing where he'd run really fast. The first time that he discovered that he could run really fast, he actually couldn't then walk for 3 or 4 days because he burnt the soles of his feet from running so fast.
Oh, fuck that. Well, that's another thing. If you can run so fast, like, yeah, your shoes are just going to go...
It's just like the boys. How in the opening scene with A-Train. Now he just fucking runs through a person.
Yeah.
That's another thing in a lot of shows as well. They seem to have a lot of control over their... They seem to travel like snake. Like, it's only right angles... Going green objects. Well, there's not curvatures to their like
in the Flash. He practiced a lot on that, like on like a trim and a track.
Season one
stuff,
was training to get. Now he's just an expert.
But I mean, and there's different types of speed powers as well. If we're going to go down this track, Quicksilver sees everything.
Which Quicksilver though?
So
Magneto's one.
Yeah, but just Quicksilver, comic Pietro. Quicksilver. Quicksilver sees the world slower.
I love that scene. And
so
first pass?
He moves.
I hate it.
In
Days of Future Past.
One of them, yeah.
With Evan Peters ones where he's like going around he's going around the restaurant, like the kitchen, and he's just like.
But in the comics, Quicksilver's actually the reason that he's such a prick. Like he's always been an asshole in the comics, and at one point they said to him, somebody said to him, you're a jerk. Why are you always such a jerk? And he's like, everything I do is quick. You all move so slow. Everything's so boring. I have to wait for you to do everything because he can do everything in a thought. And so
he's justifying his jerkiness. I love
it. But it's interesting. Like
but that builds his personality because that's what would happen.
He
would get
pissed
off.
Him being a prick comes.
But you going, hey, let's go.
On.
You said we're going to go now, and people are like, five more minutes.
And he's like there and back 30 times. It's like I love the.
Hey, we're going to go save the world. It's like already did it. Yeah, you guys took too long.
Done, yeah. Beat an egg. Done, and like do it so fast that it cooks as well. But yeah, okay. Then let's we're sort of coming at the end of our hour to talk about this. Let's talk about scores, Josh. X-Men out of 5. How many X's do you give it out of 5?
How many X's? That sounds like such a negative thing.
Yeah.
I would give it. We doing halves.
Yeah, go. You can give quarters.
I'm gonna give quarters.
Like.
Ooh.
Like. I'll go quarters.
Can't wait till we do a Harry Potter movie. Have to be 9 3/4.
Oh.
I don't know. It's a good, just chill movie. I'd say like a 3.5.
Yeah, cool. Shane,
I'm gonna give it a 4. Yeah, just because Ray Parker's Toad is amazing.
Fucking Ray Parker. Wow. You just fucking love Ray Parker.
Did he pay you before you came on?
No. Watch his scene in Fanboys where he plays the security guard for the Lucas at the Lucas Ranch, and when he goes to somebody, I'm going to maul you, boy, is the best line ever. Because he was Darth Maul.
Ray Park should have played Wolverine because he's like 2'6".
He is very small.
He's a very small man. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't
say that to his face.
He wasn't supposed to talk in the movie. Like he was supposed to be a hunchback, but when they cast Ray Park, they were like, no, we need to get him to start flipping around.
Make your money.
His real name is, I wrote it down.
Milton Toynbee.
Mortimer
Toynbee.
Toynbee. It's a fuck. And Zing's bringing out a Toad pop vinyl, I believe, when they bring it out.
Funko art.
Yeah, Funko.
Oh, cool.
So I want it because it looks nothing like what he's supposed to look like.
We'll make sure that you get one.
Thank you.
Yeah, does he have like the skin tight outfit and the lily pad necklace?
Yeah, and he's got like the bowl cut. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
He's not Ray Park.
Yeah, he was supposed to, like, in the original, he was even built like a toad in the comics. He had, like, a big fat body and a big fat head and little tiny skinny arms. And he was always, you look at the old comics and he was always, like, with his arms wrapped around Magneto's leg going, oh, we're going to get
So he was actually a little Magneto flunky. Because I was like, why did Bryan Singer choose him for this movie?
Yeah,
like,
he was one of the original Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Such an obscure character.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of the original Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
So, in this one, Sabretooth is not the brother of Wolverine.
Sabretooth, the brother of Wolverine.
Because because in the Origins, they're brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read Origins.
It's alluded to, but it's not confirmed, but it's not denied in this one. It's very much like, yeah.
Convolution of X-Men. Thank God that X-Virus comic came out where they just murdered everybody. okay, so for me, I'm the same with you, Josh. 3.5 stars. I think it's a solid science fiction film. And it's a good introduction to superhero films, kind of without being a superhero film.
The Blade.
Interesting thing about this film is that it was so popular that the look of the X-Men comics changed to look like the X-Men movie. So all of
the
sudden...
Their likenesses and stuff like that.
They've done that with everything.
What's his name? Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely changed everybody in the comics to be wearing black leather. And one of my favorite Jean Grey outfits ever is she wore black leather jeans, black boots, a stripy top, and a black leather jacket.
Would you prefer yellow spandex?
On Jean Grey, yeah.
Well, that's what they say in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, God, couldn't you get anything better than this?
I like Hugh Jackman's face here, and he's kind of like, yeah, maybe.
Mm. Oh, there's such an Australian line he says, though. It's like, you can hear his Australian accent, where it's just like, mutants, blah, blah. He's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You can hear his Australian accent just right through it. Like,
Australia.
Australia.
Pies.
Cool. Okay, we'll just take a quick minute and then we'll talk about what we're going to do in the next episode.
Big send.
Okay, so that's our little chat about the good old the sexy X-Men.
Sex-Men.
The Sex-Men. My semen.
Oh, I like that. Skip to the end if you want to hear about the semen.
So, Josh, where can we... Oh, we'll talk about next week before we talk about our Instagrammios. Next episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're not going to do a movie this time. We're actually going to talk about...
Water park.
Each of us are going to talk about our top three favourite creators. Now, we've sort of left this really wide open because we all have sort of different influences and stuff like that. Josh is probably not as big a comic reader as what Shane and I are, but Josh would read a lot more manga than us.
I take offence to that.
Well, it's probably true.
Yeah, but your manga...
I'm going to read all the comics this week.
You won't.
You,
no,
won't. You won't.
Got, too many words.
I got one in my bag right now, bro, if you want to read it.
No, are you reading it?
Batman Beyond.
Oh, wow. It's Batman. I'm shocked.
What a surprise. I'm halfway through your Fantastic Four one.
Man, you want to read a good comic at the moment, Doctor Doom.
Fantastic Four.
Doctor Doom is fucking amazing.
Doctor Boom Boom.
Doctor Doom is amazing. He's been accused of destroying half of the moon.
All right. Did he do it?
And no. That's the cool thing about it is, and so like it's like the
I feel like he wouldn't give a shit though.
Well, no, he doesn't because of his ego. It's like, yeah,
he's got to go find out who did.
Yeah, it's like it wasn't me. I'll fucking find out who did it. But he's like being pursued by the Fantastic Four.
Shouldn't a lot of these like big ass like villains be put to death like as war criminals?
Well, you can't do that with. This is the beautiful thing about Doctor Doom is that he's a regent of a independent state of Europe. Imagine if you just went and picked up the King of Denmark and set fire to him. You can't do that.
So, okay.
You can.
Yeah, you can.
It's frowned upon.
But the ensuing war would basically be all your fault.
Yeah. Have you seen Mystery Man?
Dude.
Yeah, do you know how
the shoveler?
I am the spleen.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Do you know how Captain Amazing's in the limo, Greg Kinnear, and they're trying to figure out who to him for him to fight? It's just like blah blah. Like three of them got like the chair.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that should have fucking be like these supervillains. Like a lot of them should just be like fucking put to death.
But one of my favorite line from a movie of all time is my father suspiciously felt down an elevator shaft onto six bullets.
Janine Garofalo.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bowler. Wasn't that a comedian?
It's the baby bowler.
Yeah.
I killed your father, baby bowler.
Isn't that a comedian?
Yeah, it's Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, the one who's a...
Yeah, the funny guy.
Yeah.
He does a really good joke about... if you're wondering what your cats are doing when you're not at home, they're drilling. they drill for oil. Cats love to drill, and that's why you always hear them going.
Oh, jeez. Oh, another good line is, I'm the one who gave your dad the shaft. Yeah.
and the Casanova Frankenstein has to be the best bad guy name.
Because it's an amalgam of every like Casanova fucking comic book villain ever.
And what an absolute coup to get fucking Jeffrey Rush to play that. I don't know if you know this, but Mystery Men isn't actually a comic. The Mystery Men are characters in a comic called The Flaming Carrot.
Yeah, The Flaming Carrot, yeah.
And Flaming Carrot is actually, he's a guy who wears green pants, I think a white shirt, he wears green flippers, and his helmet is a carrot, but the carrot's like the full length of his body. And it has fire coming out of the top.
I'm the Blue Raja. That's it. Can you have a bit of blue inside your uniform somewhere? Yeah. It's just like, it's such a political thing.
You've got to love the invisible kid too, who can't turn invisible unless no one's watching.
All I see is Good Burger when I see him.
Good Burger?
You've never seen Good...
Is that
Kenan and Kel? Good Burger.
Yeah, I've seen Good Burger.
Oh, damn.
What a fucking waste
Who
of time.
Who loves orange soda?
Yeah.
I just love that. Yeah, you're sitting there in a Wendy's t-shirt too, I got
to
say.
I love burgers.
I love that shirt.
That's from Uniqlo. I tried to get one.
Is that from Uniqlo?
Sold out.
They do like brand releases.
Yeah.
I've seen like the Pokemon ones.
They do so much anime.
There's a, yeah, they did.
You said that while rolling your eyes. I saw that.
They did a fair bit of My Hero stuff recently.
Yes.
There's a guy who's an artist whose name I can't remember, which is sad because it makes the story fairly shit. But he's on Instagram, and he actually does like if they modernized the characters from all of those things. And so he's done like sexy male and female versions of like Ronald McDonald, the girl from Wendy's and stuff like that. And they're all like slutty,
I think I've
sexy versions of them. And they're all of them are like the Wendy's girl. She's like licking her fingers and things like that. They're beautiful drawings.
If it was Ronald, he'd be doing coke. He's got a fucking red nose.
That's how his nose got that big. It's full of cocaine.
Grimace.
Colonel's. He's doing Grimace.
Wasn't Grimace supposed to be like a...
It's like a chicken nugget.
Oh, he's like a... I forgot what it was.
Grimace is the thick shake. He's the thick shake.
But he's like an amalgam... Like he's the colour of a thick shake when it's mixed with something or something like that.
Really?
It's purple.
I thought it was just a big poo.
It looks like
it's not the constipation you get when you have too many thick shakes.
They should put the hamburger to death. Fucking stealing hamburgers and shit.
Yeah. You want to talk about bad guys?
Yeah.
He's a hamburger.
Seriously, I'd cut that fucking motherfucker's hands off if he touched my burger.
We need to do Mystery Man at one point. It'd be fun.
Cool. Oh, so anyway, what we're getting back to the case in point. Oh, we should just call this podcast Sidetracks.
Yeah.
So we'll do our three favorite creators, comics, movies, manga.
I wonder what my number one will be.
Scott Snyder.
See, that's what I thought to begin with, but then I went back deeper. I'm like, wait a second, there's something that led me to this.
So the bullshit is that you guys know exactly what mine's going to be.
Yeah.
Nope.
Fuck.
Are you kidding?
JK, dude.
JK Rowling.
JK Rowling. I kept it out there for a while. But if you look at me and be like, if you don't know what mine's going to be, if I want to go back to the history of what I love.
Is it? Men. Does it to do with this?
It's a finger.
Yeah, so it's like not Bill Finger.
R.I.P. It's actually Athena. His daughter. His name's Athena Finger.
You feel a what?
Oh, jeez.
I felt a finger, all right.
His daughter's name's Athena Finger. She's the one who helped get his like name credited.
Oh, really?
To be like the
Athena.
No idea what you're talking about until next week. You can tell me then.
So, Josh, where can we find you in social media?
Social media, Instagram, the sourceless white boy.
Cool. No source here.
Nope, none.
Shane, not the Sparkle.
Bat Sparkle 44.
Woohoo!
Loving that name.
Oh, I can't wait till that movie comes out and it becomes Batterson.
It'll be Batterson 44.
If you want to piss Shane off, everybody, jump on Batterson 44 on Instagram as quick as you can just to fuck
him
off.
Yeah.
No. Then you can be Batterson 69.
No, I want to be Batterson 66. Batterson 66.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'll take that. Someone's going to fucking take it now.
So with me, Twitter or Instagram, at the Nerds of Oz, we'll post our usual sort of stuff. This episode will be published very soon. We are going to be back very soon. Thank you so much for listening. Say goodbye, Josh.
Bye, guys.
Say goodbye, Shane.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. See y'all later.
Twitter.